Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, we are back for the final season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend here at AfterBuzz TV. We're going to be talking about Josh and Nathaniel, all these guys that are a part of Rebecca's life, and her being in prison. Just stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, man.
No one else is singing their song.
That's sad. You know, I connected to this. Like, this
just hit the heartstrings. Well, we're going to talk all about the songs in this episode later. Plus, we're going to talk about some special segments that we have. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk some news and gossip. It's going to be so much going on. There's so much, because we were gone last season. So
We were gone last season, right.
So much to cover.
But we're back. It's all good.
And who are we? I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I am joined by the lovely...
Hey, everybody, it's your boy, Nino. How's it going?
Gosh, it feels like so long because we weren't here last season.
I know. We did our little highlight show for a little bit or whatnot, but we're back now.
We are back, and it is the final season of this show. They've announced that. We'll talk about that a little bit more in our news and gossip segment, but... So how do you feel about this first start off for the season?
So the first, you know, I'm always usually super, super excited about the first episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend whenever it comes back on air, because it's always so dynamic for me. There's something new or whatnot. But since they came off from where they exactly came off of last time, I don't know. To be quite honest, it fell a little under for me. I was a little underwhelmed. But I have faith because I know how much I love this writing team and whatnot. And I feel like with the 18 episodes, it's just going to progress to even better. So I'm giving it faith. What about you?
For me, it was a little different, but I also rewatched the first three seasons. So I felt I was right there already. So it wasn't as such a weird hit for me, but I can see why you would think that maybe it was a little bit of a lower. It did have a little bit of weirdness, and I think that they... It might have been Rebecca was a little...
Calm?
She's a little calm, and it was more like an annoying Rebecca. Like,
yeah.
In the past, when Rebecca's annoying, she's still, like, lovable.
Right.
But I felt in this one she was a little, I don't know, like, that's a harsh thing to say, but like a little less lovable.
She was extra privileged, I guess, in a sense. Especially being in prison and wanting to stay in prison when you didn't have to be in prison. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and she touches upon that. I'm sure we're going to talk about
it. Yeah, we're going to talk all about Rebecca and her privilege that she discovers that she has. But first, let's start off with some of these men that were that are now experienced. We'll call it the after Rebecca effect.
Yeah. I mean, she has a way with making the people she dates feel a certain way. I guess making them crazy ex-lovers. Hey, that could be a spinoff.
It could be.
That could totally be a spinoff.
CW. Pay royalties right here.
Right. There you go. You heard it here first. AfterBuzz TV.
Let's start off with the first love of Rebecca's life, Josh, and where he's at. So we come in with Josh, and he's kind of questioning why he even misses Rebecca at all, knowing now everything that she did. And he's doing what he always does, which I kind of want to point out for both him and Nathaniel. And when we get to Nathaniel, I'll tell you his reason. But they both have, like you said, kind of aspects of Rebecca, which I think were always there. Yeah. I mean, they're just heightened now. And for Josh's, it's definitely this narcissism where everything has to be about him.
Ooh, okay. See, I never even thought about that. Like small little traces of Rebecca in the men she dates. The narcissism, we definitely see in Rebecca all the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, and it's humbly talked upon. I mean, she says that in the episode about the whole going to school at Harvard thing. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. You know, Josh, maybe that's why Josh is so self-absorbed is because...
I mean, we've seen it over these past three seasons because with Greg and his drinking, it was about Josh. Like with Valencia, like Josh just kind of focuses very much on how everything affects him.
Right.
And he always likes to paint himself as like kind of the star.
Right.
In his own world.
So he's the star of the Broadway play.
And in his head. And we have Hector here being like, it's not really about you.
Right. Exactly. I mean, yeah, there's in real life. There's a lot of people just like this who are so... not influenced by anything else but their own surroundings and their own bubble. And Josh is that type of person who, like you said, everything that happens with him or to him or around him, it has to center back to him or whatnot.
I think that's kind of like a feeling of invalidation for him because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't think he's where he needs to be in life. He's we've already expressed those concerns in the past with him. And I think he wants to make himself more, I guess, more special than he feels that he is.
Or validates him not knowing exactly what he wants to do with his life, him being at a certain age, you know, thinking he should be in an area where he's maybe almost married or in a serious relationship, you know.
Or thinking about children.
Exactly, or like 5-6 years into his career or whatnot, but he doesn't have that. I mean, and, I mean, his parents kicked him out, you know, last season.
I mean,
and
he's living with Hector's mom.
Exactly. So he has a lot to think about. I get it. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is a validation type situation with him in that aspect. But
I think it's very relatable, too, because, like, both of us, and maybe it's partly because we're in the entertainment industry, but we're both in our early 30s, and I think we can both kind of grasp onto a little bit of that feeling.
I mean, like, I think we might have talked about this beforehand, too, where, you know, you always compare yourself to other people you see, like, on social media or Facebook friends or whatnot from high school. You're like, wow, they just bought a home. They just had kids. And you think about it, our pace with what we do is 10 times different because we usually do everything a little later because with an entertainment, it takes a lot more time for things to start popping off than normal. But with Josh, like, what's his reason?
Well, Josh, I think just, you know, all of his friends maybe are moving on in some sort of way. Not 100%. A little bit of it just might be some of this narcissism, which leads him to believe that there is something the matter with him.
Yeah, or 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 things.
4 or 5, correct. And it can't just be that, you know, I'm not happy in my life. I need to figure out how to make myself happy. It can't be simple for him, of course, because it's Josh.
Yeah.
So he goes online to go look up what kind of thing he has, like Rebecca, to diagnose himself with.
Yes.
And he apparently has, I wrote this down so I can't on him, ADD, OCD, synesthesia, and he's on the autism spectrum.
Right.
So these are the four that are stated.
This is from Quimble.com.
Quimble.com.
I didn't even look to see if that was a real website or not.
I also loved that going into it when he first does a search, the top search was like, why you shouldn't look up your own diagnosis is online.
Right. Like whatever doctor says, don't go to WebMD right away.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Because you always have cancer.
Right. You always have cancer. You always have something that you don't want to see.
You're always dying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then he kind of flips out on both Heather and Hector because they're telling him that exact same thing and he doesn't want to hear it. He wants to believe that there is something wrong with him because he doesn't want to believe that he can be his own issue.
Right. Exactly. He can't face his own fears. Like Rebecca, you know, running away from them. Maybe that's why they're such a good pair together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And thankfully, by the end of this episode, though, Josh finally realizes, you know what? Maybe I should seek out therapy and goes with, I wrote, Mancopian, Dr. Mancopian.
Okay, see, I had to rewind and see that out. You know, I was like, wait, is this Dr. Arcopian? Is any relation to Dr. Arcopian? But Mancopian was hilarious to me.
Well, we had him, was it last season we had him?
Was he? Was he?
Yeah, because it was with White.
With White Joe and you're right. Daryl. Okay, yeah, that's right.
It's her husband.
Yeah.
But this is the first time someone's called him Mancopian.
That's too funny.
And he tells Josh, you don't have a disorder. You just need,
to talk.
You need to talk it out. You need to look into yourself and figure out why you're having these thoughts or why you feel this way about yourself. And it's going to take time.
100%. As funny as it was and like kind of as quirky as that whole, I guess that whole part of his character was and just a storyline or whatnot. You're right. It's totally relatable to people or whatnot. It made me also think, though, like, could he really have something wrong with him? Just because of,
I mean, I think
how
if you search for something, you can always find something kind of thing like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there are people that say that everybody is a little bit OCD. Everybody's a little bit ADD.
Right.
So, like, I think on the baseline, you could find something wrong if you want to. Mm-hmm. But is there an overlying thing that he actually deals with that is preventing him from being able to do things? I don't think so.
Right. He just has to go over that hump or discover himself.
And I do like that they kind of left it on that note, even though it was a little like cheeky side note of it's going to take a long time. But that is true. Like with any kind of thing, therapy, it's not like go to 1, 2, 3 sessions, you're fixed. Mm-hmm. It's a process and you have to keep going. So I like that they kind of threw that in there.
Right. Definitely.
Well, let's move on to another man in Rebecca's life, maybe a little bit more of a prevalent man in Rebecca's life, Nathaniel.
I mean, he went from 0 to 100 with what he decided to do to try to get over the situation.
Oh, man. I mean, this, okay. So, like I said, with Josh, Josh is the narcissistic part of Rebecca.
Okay.
Nathaniel is the escape part of Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. He is an escapist. I mean,
he runs away from anything to deal with emotions.
Leaving your girlfriend that's about to go to jail out of the courtroom, I'm out, is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, just so we catch everyone up. So, Nathaniel's going on the, I wrote down because it was so wordy, intense outdoor survivalist excursion called Death Wish Adventures, where he will pay $100,000 to get beat up and then dropped off in a random area to fend for himself.
Yeah, I wrote, he retreats to a retreat.
He retreats to a retreat.
Yeah, I mean, right? 100%. Except paying $100K. These people have expendable cash. These people have so much money. Like, I just think about it, like how much Rebecca spent. If you tally up how much Rebecca spent last season or all these seasons.
Well, for I guess it makes sense, though, that these are the two, Rebecca and Nathaniel, are the two that spend the most because she was a hotshot lawyer in New York that made a lot of money. So she just had savings. So, which is why we.
And Nathaniel comes from money.
And he comes from money.
Okay.
And she did run out of money.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like.
For a quick second.
Until she realized she got paid again.
Right, exactly.
What do you think about this whole Nathaniel George friendship that they're continuing along with? Like, we had some of it last season, and now we're continuing the. That I feel like George is almost like his conscience.
I 100% love it. I mean, was he a series regular last season? Because I hope.
I think towards the end he kind of started becoming
a series
one.
Regular, right? I think he's going to be one throughout this whole season as well too. I have to actually look it up on IMDb or whatnot. But I honestly love it. I mean, I feel like he's the Paula to, you know, Nathaniel, in a sense, less crazy, more. You know, I'll go with the flow. But he's also kind of like a, what do you call, I can't remember the term. But, I mean, he's at Nathaniel's beck and call.
Yeah.
But he has, like you said, he has the words to kind of put things into perspective for Nathaniel. So I think he needs somebody like that or whatnot.
Yeah. So George, one, trying to stop him from going on this trip.
Yeah.
But then ends up going on the trip with him, surprises him, and is kind of that voice of reason, like we just said. Yeah. And he points out to Nathaniel that basically what he is doing is emotional cutting to an extreme sense.
Right. Oh, yeah, extreme. And he said this is what he does to just get rid of everything. You know what I mean? He's done this multiple times in multiple different
ways.
Instead
of dealing with his emotions, instead of dealing with the things that are happening around him, he just forces himself into something that will make him not think about it.
Right.
But it doesn't work.
See, and this is what the thing I appreciate about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, just the way they bring attention to certain things in a fun, cheeky type of manner or way. You know, like, I think a lot of people, when they watch it, they don't get it right away. But when you continue to watch it, especially throughout the four seasons or whatnot, just their writing style and or whatnot, like, is so great to me. And this is why I'm like, okay, maybe I wasn't feeling this first episode that much, but I just know that I'm looking forward to something, you know, the rest of the season, especially that it's the last season.
Yeah.
This is a series finale.
And because you know that they know where they're going, you know that they have this understanding of what's going to happen, and we're just along for this ride waiting for it to come to fruition.
Yeah. You know, like, sometimes we just get impatient because, like, we want to see a lot of things just, like, right from the get.
Yeah.
Or whatnot. So I was like, okay, I'll just hold myself back and see and go along for the 18-episode ride.
Well, Nathaniel finds out that he does not feel better. Surprise, surprise, you do not feel better from just making yourself numb to anything.
Yeah, literally, he was numb. His face he was beat up.
Beat up with maggot sandwiches and sand for water.
$400K.
Eating cockroaches.
Right.
For $100K. Yeah, for $100K.
I'll drop him off, like, in the middle of the desert if he wants for $100K.
But he realizes that the only thing that did make him feel better is when George realized that Rebecca got out of jail.
Yeah. It was the news that Rebecca was okay.
And that,
you know,
it kind of connected him that he needed to go see her.
Yeah.
Like, again, big surprise. You have to go face your problems and issues to feel better.
Right. And that's generally the hard part for everybody. People don't like confrontation. People don't like having to share their feelings. And this whole cast has that issue.
Yeah.
Each person in this cast has that issue, actually. You know, until the feelings are bottled up too much and they just kind of explode.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot. I think that's why this show connects, though, so well, is because everybody is like that. No, even if you are good at expressing yourself, you had to work at that.
Yeah.
That's not a natural thing. I don't think that anyone is just a natural person that can talk about their feelings and talk about things that bug them in a way that doesn't feel awkward or doesn't feel uncomfortable.
Even my most emotionally, you know, driven direct friends or whatnot have the hardest time sharing like their truest, like, you know, feelings, especially when it's really hard on them or it's an issue that's just really close to their heart. It's hard for everybody to do that. It's hard to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. for one, you know, but I think like with, it was just a mental health awareness day a couple yeah. of days ago, you know what I mean? And I saw one of my friends and he actually created this chart that he had for the whole year 2018. Or up till now or whatnot, where he would code every day of how he felt. And like, and it would be color-coded to like, I feel good today, I feel bad today, blah, 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 blah. And he was working at making it a certain color, which was him being happy the whole year. But wow. people are doing this, and it's such a real thing and such a bigger subject. And, you know, I think with shows like this, it just really, really helps to talk about it.
I mean, that's why this show is so important. That's why I'm glad that despite the ratings it was getting, that the president of the CW kept renewing it and let them get to the end of their show, because it is so important. The messages are so mm-hmm. good for everybody to have.
And he said, he's like, it would be dumb for me to shoot down a critically acclaimed show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not like they have, they're like a crazy big sci-fi show that has a huge budget. You know what I mean? Like I think he felt like, okay, we can cut these corners and make it happen because I feel this is important. Yeah. And I really, really respect him for that.
And I really do think that the ratings don't reflect the quality of the show. It's mm-hmm. just I don't think people maybe are geared to watching this show because it's a musical mm-hmm. show or for whatever reason, but if people gave it the shot, then they would love it.
Yeah,
because everyone I know that I've talked to about it and then they go watch it loves it,
right? And I mean, it's still one of the top stream shows on Netflix, which is, you know, people don't necessarily watch it live or see, you know, episode like we do for the season because we talk
but
about
they're
it
watching but it on Netflix.
They watch on Netflix, so which I feel is... like it's living the way it needs to live right now.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the main event, as I'll put it.
Oh, yeah.
Rebecca Bunch.
She had a bunch
of... So we started off with Rebecca. Uh-huh. Right where we left off in this... I guess she's in the chamber, judges' chambers.
Yeah. Reconvening after the
waiting
trial.
For her lawyer, but Nathaniel, as we said, is gone.
He retreats.
He retreats. And Rebecca just insisting that she needs... to go to jail. She needs to go to jail so that she can get penance mm-hmm. For everything that she's done. Mm-hmm. And this, I want to pose this question to you. What are your thoughts when we have those kind of like real moments in the show? Like the judge calls Rebecca out for the show being the show.
Mm-hmm. This episode.
Yeah. I'm trying to like say how to phrase it, but it's basically the judge calls her out being like, you didn't testify to me, you testified to your friend, so yeah. I can't take that testimony.
Yeah.
None of you guys are criminal lawyers, you're all real estate lawyers, mm-hmm. so I don't understand what you're even doing. Like, do you love the parts of the show that do that, or do you kind of let me sink in this in the like ambiance of this is what television and film is?
I love it because they call it out, you know what I mean? There's so many holes and loopholes to like certain shows and certain things or whatnot. Like, there's a movie on Netflix, Sarah Burgers is a Loser.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were using an Android phone, but they were using iMessage on the text of the screen and waiting for FaceTimes and things like that. There's like small things that are just funny that when you catch them, it's hilarious. And when you think about them being lawyers and them being real estate lawyers and them trying to go on trial for a criminal situation, it's just funny. So like these little loopholes or little things that they touch upon and then they actually call it out or call their writing out or whatnot. I think that's funny that you bring that up because one, it catches you, you know, as a show or whatnot to laugh at your mistakes, if they were really mistakes or they were intentional. And it's just funny to see. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I like that they do it too. I like that they call it out because television and film can have this tendency to be overdramatic with things to make points. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's what they do all the time. But I love that they're like, this isn't reality. Like, this is television, people.
Right, exactly. We're making it fun for you guys.
Well, moving on. She gets what she wants. She goes to jail.
Yeah.
And we get this repetitive line from her of, I deserve this.
Right.
What would, like, do you believe that she really deserves jail?
I feel like she needed something. It might not have been jail, but I think she needed to be there to reflect and to think, you know what I mean, of everything and all the issues that have come about because of her disorder, because of just the way she is in general or whatnot. It gave it kind of like a... It shined a light on her taking responsibility. And I think even if she was just there for however many days, weeks, they didn't really say how long she was there for. But I think it was necessary for her. You know, it kind of put her in a place where she had to think about stuff or whatnot. And it was outside of the world of her boyfriends or ex-boyfriends and all that other stuff.
I just think there was other places you could go to learn that maybe wouldn't now have a criminal record for, but...
Well, look how crazy she is.
True.
You know what I mean?
Before we move on, because I did skip it over a little bit, we did in the scene with the judge and last season have a little kind of Easter egg with co-creator. One second. I have to find where I wrote her name down because I know it, but it's not.
Oh, I think I have it.
But she plays, it's a Brosh McKenna.
Yeah.
Alina Brosh McKenna. She plays the prosecuting lawyer.
Right.
In that scene. So she got a little screen time. That's the co-creator of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend for anybody that was not aware.
She was trying to hurry up because she needs to pee.
Yes.
Can we get this over with?
I mean, she speaks truth.
True.
But yeah, so she made a little appearance. I just wanted to give a little nod to her because she is the second, her and
Rebecca.
Rachel do this together.
Oh my God, I'm using her character name.
her character name is very similar to her real name. So that's true. It's okay. Rebecca Bunch, Rachel Bloom.
Yeah. This Golden Globe winning team, yes.
So then we move on and we get introduced to Rebecca's cellmates for another little Easter egg. If you don't recognize this woman, she also made an appearance in the camp episode. Back when Rebecca goes to camp with Josh.
Wow, I totally did not.
And she is her partner on the three-legged race.
And slams season, her. In season one? Or was this or
I want to say it's season two.
I'm going to have to look back now.
I mean, to be fair, I literally just rewatched all three seasons. Okay, there you go. It was fresh in my mind. But yeah, when she goes to camp with Josh and like forces her way to become counselor, her cellmate was also the woman that like slammed her into the ground and gave her like the...
I love that. Okay, I love that. Face. I'm going to have to look at that now.
So that was a little fun Easter egg, but she runs into her cellmate. Her cellmate has no sympathy for her.
100% nothing.
Cause why would you?
Yeah. Cause she was using her privilege to be there.
But then she finds out that there's activities you can do in prison. And one of the activities is
theater. Come on.
And she decides theater will be her penitence.
Yeah. Penance.
For everything that she's done. That's bad and wrong. And I'm like, girl,
See, the thing is, imagine if she was in the outside world.
I know.
If she was outside of jail and trying to figure out how she could reattach herself to living again and just being her and trying to correct it. She would have so many options. So being in jail, she had that one option, you know, that she felt was right.
But she still finds a way to be the narcissistic center of attention through what is supposed to be her atonement for all these bad things that she's done.
Right, and a group activity that
her having fun and making other people do things that they don't want to.
Exactly. I mean, she was in her feelings, right?
Yeah, she was definitely in her feelings. So, and we get the big flashback to the very first scene of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend of South Pacific. And I can't talk. South Pacific, and then she gets to play the lead this time.
Right, exactly. Talking about how she's lost her love and whatnot. I thought that was hilarious. But it was, I don't know, it was still just so funny to see her singing the way she was singing because we know, you know, she has a voice. She can sing. But when Rebecca sings like
Rebecca's head singing is great and Rebecca's actual singing is mediocre.
I love it.
I feel like that's like all of us though.
Right.
Like everybody thinks that when they're alone or singing in their shower or something, like, I'm a good singer.
100%. I feel like
I should
be
singing. And then you sing like karaoke and you're like,
I have my go-to songs where I feel like I can hit, you know, I can hit it. But we won't go there.
And like you said, Rebecca finds out that she is privileged, that she was not aware before.
Right. 100%. Well, I mean, I guess it's part of it, right? A lot of people who are privileged don't realize it.
Yeah, that's very true. And it moves on to her basically being forced to get out of jail when she doesn't want to leave.
Right.
Because she lets her friend know that she has this privilege. And then they basically kind of reaffirm it for her by being like, yeah, you're getting out because Trent woke up. Which we found out the after credit scene that Paula is the one that made Trent wake up. And I put quotations around that for audio listeners because he was never actually in a coma.
I almost stopped like my DVR. I was like, oh, it's done. And when the 2 days later came on, I was like, what's going on here? And I was like, oh, Paula's so good. She's, once again, she's that friend that everybody needs in their life to make sure, you know, you're taken care of or whatnot. Yeah. Everyone needs a Paula.
Paula's a better mom, though, to everybody that is her friend in her life than to her own kids.
Right. I'm kind of curious to see how her kids are doing this season.
This season.
And how Scott's doing.
Well, maybe we'll get to see that. We'll save it for some predictions, maybe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she gets out of jail, and she's going on and on about this privilege until Valencia finally goes off on her.
Right. And tells her, you got to shut up right now.
Which I loved having that moment, because I feel like that's such a true thing. People like talk about their privilege all the time, but then they don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what she's saying. She's like, either do something or stop talking about it.
It's like keyboard warriors or people just using hashtags when, I mean, it's great. You're bringing awareness to things or whatnot, but if you don't go out and do something about it or don't help in any way or cause, nothing's really going to
change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to be the change.
But then Nathaniel shows up and they have their kind of little scene where, and I just want to see what your thoughts on this were, because I thought that this was a very interesting scene. So before I say mine, I want to hear what you had to think about him kind of telling her that she tries to ruin any time that they're happy.
See, this made me sad, because it's like, oh, this is great. They're in a good spot, you know. And then that one line happened. I'm like, oh, God, here you go. It's going to be another spiral again of their relationship. Now, like, it's hard dealing with somebody who has a who's sick or has a mental disorder, and people know how, you know, how patient you have to be in that situation. And the thing is, I think Nathaniel's trying to be patient, but maybe he's at his wit's end and he doesn't know how to act upon it. Because with somebody like Rebecca, you're just going to have to peel back sometimes and you know, go with the flow. And if she says she just needs some time to relax, maybe that's it. You know what I mean? She was excited about Hawaii for a second, but then she sat back and thought, like, maybe it's just not the right time. It's not going to be good for me. So I feel like he could have reacted in a different way.
Yep.
But I don't blame him, because it's hard to deal with something like that. And not everyone has to deal with having to be in a relationship like that. You know what I mean? And like I said, it takes a special person to love, you know, someone and to help them through that.
Yeah.
You know?
I had similar feelings to it than like you had, but I was a little bit more on Nathaniel's side, only because Rebecca does get these obsessions.
Yeah.
Whether they be men or not, where she focuses wholeheartedly on them. And I can see how you would get left behind in that.
Yeah.
Again, it's part of mental disorder. But I think that she could have maybe had a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if this is the best time for me to do that, because I really need to focus on this. But how about we do a weekend retreat? Or, you know, like, she could have met him halfway as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think it works both ways. You know what I mean? So I definitely agree on that. You know, if he can try to be more patient and she can try to be more understanding to her situation as well, too, I think it would have worked out perfectly. But it just made me sad, like, that it happened. It was there. The love was there. Then it just drew back so quickly.
Yeah.
I was like, there we go. Here's another story.
But it kind of was true. Like, when he said that line of, you know, you're selfish, and every time, like, it kind of is true when you look back on it, that every time she gets into a situation where she should be happy, she ruins it. You know, she's out on this date with Greg in the first season, and they're having a great time, and she goes and sleeps with somebody else.
Yeah.
Her and Josh finally get engaged, and she makes out with her boss. Like,
yeah.
She does self-sabotage anytime she's actually starting to feel happy.
Yeah. She's scared. She's scared of the truth. She's scared of being happy. I think maybe because it's almost like, well, is that my life? Is that it? There's no more adventure?
Yeah.
That could be part of her personality disorder.
No, 100%.
She always wants a constant chase, you know, in a sense. It'll be kind of interesting to see how that kind of works out throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Or to end the storyline in general.
And speaking of which, that kind of ends our episode. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else you wanted to add in?
No, I mean, like I said, like, a little underwhelmed, but I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. And seeing the new people that come on, or the new reintroductions of people who comes on. Let's hold off on that until
we get to the predictions, and let's get some predictions from you later on about who you think may or may not appear in this season.
I'm excited.
The one thing I will add right before we end off on the episode and go into some of our special segments and our news is, for any theater people out there, they gave a nod to the fact that theater people kind of hate the show Cats. But everybody else in the world loves it,
right?
But it is like it's a thing in the theater community. Like, if you
are a
theater major, that they make fun of Cats, and it is. It's one of the, I think it's one of the longest running, if not the longest running show on Broadway.
Yeah,
and it sells out all the time. People love that show, mm-hmm. but anyone inside the theater community like thinks it's a joke.
Right.
So that was a fun little nod they threw out there.
Not if they're in it, though.
I mean, they're getting paid.
That's
so.
A check in the... Exactly.
All right. So let's move on to the songs of the episode. So we'll do that, and then we're going to go into our special segment mm-hmm. of Crazy Meter.
Yes. Rebecca Crazy Meter.
The Rebecca Bunch Crazy Meter. Mm-hmm. So we had two songs this episode. We had no opening theme song.
No, it didn't show up, which I was waiting
up,
for. Yeah.
Which is reminiscent of last yeah. season, too. Mm-hmm. So we had no opening theme song, but maybe next episode we right. will get that. Mm-hmm. But the first number we had was a Chicago-inspired mm-hmm. musical number called What's Your Story?
Right. Taken from Cell Block Tango.
Taken from the Cell Block. Yeah. What was your thoughts on this song?
So, when it first came on, I was like, I think I like the context of it and just how it was shot or whatnot. The song was okay for me. Like, it's catchy, definitely,
yeah, like
obviously.
The what they talked about, what they discussed, and everyone telling their right. story and how their stories actually weren't
right
crazy things.
That was my favorite part, like that, getting to know each yes. of their cellmates and there and what they went through and how some of the how a lot of the times it wasn't really their fault either while they were in jail, in a sense, like, you know, I stole a sweater, I'm here for 3 years, and then and you know
well that was yeah that they threw that racial joke
right exactly
she's there for 3 years for stealing a sweater and
versus 2 months
for
doing
the
same
thing
for the
white girl.
Exactly. Or, you know, I'm and that's because she didn't have money for her to keep her heat on, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Or the girl who decided to take the meth rap for her boyfriend because she didn't want her child not to have the dad.
Or the woman that killed a high schooler because she was texting
her daughter back. Exactly.
So they were very realistic
Super
stories.
Realistic.
Except for maybe getting jail time for stealing a sweater. I don't unless you had priors or something.
Right.
But yeah, but like song-wise, like for me to like go home and sing the song, no. It wasn't one of those.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, context-wise, it was definitely, I think that it was written well.
And did you love the fact that they were just wearing underwear over there?
Hilarious. I mean, I loved it. I mean, that is true Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you know, musical.
And just her sitting there saying,
sequence.
Ratata, ratata, ratata.
Exactly. That's probably what it was in my head the whole time.
And then we move on to our second song, which mm-hmm. is called, the one we opened with, No yes. One Else Is Singing My Song.
I like I said, heartstrings were pulled. I was into this one.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I enjoyed the fact that it was three of them singing it.
Yeah,
because it shows that I think everybody always thinks when they're going through something, like, I'm the only person that's ever felt this way. Mm-hmm. No one else knows how I feel, right. but other people do. Other right. people have gone through this.
Right.
You're not alone in this, but exactly. everyone feels like they are.
Exactly.
So I thought that was so perfect and just encapsulating that no one else is singing my song, but yet there's like literally 14 people singing the song.
Exactly. Everyone's going through their own trials and tribulations, but it's crazy to think there are people who are going through the same thing you are as well too.
And I think that's, you know, cool to like know, for to give to the audience, to be like, if you feel like you're going through something, just know that there are other people that are going through it too.
Exactly.
Like, even if you can't visually see them, they're
right.
out there,
and if they can get through, you can too.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, no, I loved it. I loved the 3-part harmony that turned into a 12-part harmony or unison song at the end. I think that was really cool to get everyone in there. Also written just very tongue-in-cheek, really funny.
Yeah,
you know, like they always do. But that was definitely, that was the highlight of it for me right there, the episode.
So in our first segment being which is your favorite song, that's going to be, I'm guessing that's yours.
That's mine. That would have to be mine. I just couldn't, I don't know, I couldn't get into listening to ratata, ratata. You know what I mean? 100 times
no,
more.
No, I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah.
I liked this one much more than the other one. If you guys are watching mm-hmm. us, you can go ahead. If you're in the live chat right now, let us know what your favorite song of the episode was. And if you're watching afterwards, put it in the comments below. We're going to check them out and see. We love hearing from you guys. And
yeah.
While you're out there, why don't you just go ahead and hit that little subscribe button? Nino's going to have a little thing to tell us
yeah,
about a bunch
I mean,
of other things you can subscribe
to as well.
Subscribe
to us, you know, definitely because you want to see our beautiful faces, right? And, of course, talk about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, of course. But, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from drama, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans than us. But we need your help. We're asking you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made to you and helps AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now and let us know that you did so in the chat or tweet us or whatnot so we can go ahead and shout you out here for doing so. Let us know you did that. And for now, thanks so much for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of Talk TV.
Yeah, thank you guys. It really does help us and it supports us. And, you know, you can hit that little thumbs up too while you're at it if you're watching this video. If you're on iTunes, you can give us that 5 stars. We love the 5 stars. And give us a comment there as well. We'd love to shout you out on air. And also, we're on Spotify
now,
guys.
That's what I was about to say. We're on Spotify. That's awesome.
So you can check us out.
We're on the spectrum
there as well. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
So definitely go ahead and do that. So let's move on to our second special segment, our Rebecca Bunch Crazy Meter. This is where we give Rebecca a rating of 1 to 10 of just how crazy she was this episode. And like just before, if you guys are in the live chat or watching this afterwards, leave us a comment. Let us know what your score for her is. So Nino, what is your score for Rebecca?
It's funny because if I can go into the negative, I would. Because I feel like she was so normal in a sense this time. I'll give her like a 1.
Okay.
Like, I'll give her a 1. I think that 1 is for being crazy enough to want to stay and do your penance in jail just because you feel like you need to.
Okay.
That's mine right there. I really can't. Maybe a 2? Let's say 1.5.
1.5?
Let's say 1.5.
I'm going to give her a 3.
Okay.
Like you, she gets about like a 1.5, maybe a 2 for the
jail situation.
The jail situation because... Don't try to stay in jail when others are being forced to.
Right.
But she also gets a little extra for me for forgetting that Daryl had a baby and that she was the one that gave the egg for it.
So I was going to ask you about that, actually. I feel like that's telling a story that we're going to get into more, that she's forgetting things. I feel like that was like a hint. There's something missing. There's something wrong with her at the moment because she totally forgot that. Because it was there and she said it and it was quick and it passed. I felt like that was placed there for a reason.
Maybe. We'll have to see. We'll
wait
and see.
Yep.
But before we get into our predictions, let's get into some news and gossip.
Get it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right. So starting off, for season 4, they have said we have some little bits of tidbits that they've given us. They have let us know that they're going to be about finding happiness to oneself rather than any sort of romantic love. But they did say that the second half will get a little bit more rom-com. The first half will stay away from that.
Okay. So springtime.
So when we get back from hiatus.
When love blooms in the spring. Hey. Mm. Okay.
On why that they're ending on season 4, Bloom told Vanity Fair, this is about a young woman in a very specific time in her life going through a crisis, and that just doesn't sustain itself for 9 seasons. I'm an avid TV watcher, and I feel a lot of shows peak around season 4, season 5, and just last way too long.
And I 100% agree with her.
I do too.
And she's been talking about this from the get.
Yep.
So I'm with it.
I would rather have a show that had an ending in mind, stuck with it.
Right.
And ended on a really good note and told the story they wanted to tell than a story that wanted to do that and kept going for another like 10 seasons. Grey's Anatomy.
Right. And I was, and I was always pissed that I never got an ending to Family Matters. That's
true.
One.
Because then you never know if you're going to get canceled. So.
Exactly. What happened to Steven Space? Did they get married? I'll never know.
You'll never know. So I appreciate her sticking to her guns, doing what she wants to do with it, and just ending on her terms.
Exactly.
This will be an 18-episode long season as opposed to the past 2 that were 13.
Right.
So we're kind of bookending things. We start with 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're ending with 18. The final season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is sure to be quite the journey. Bloom and Brosh McKenna have said it'll be their version of a happy ending.
Ooh, okay.
But with the season slated to contain 18 episodes up from last year 13, that happy ending is probably going to be a long time coming. The titles have also changed.
Mm-hmm.
The titles of season 4's episodes offer some hope. They depart from established template, which always worked in names of her love interests.
Right.
Josh is irrelevant.
Right.
And then it went to Nathaniel. Nathaniel needs my help. And then instead, this is going to center around Rebecca. I want to be here. I am ashamed. I am on my own path.
Right.
So
this is her time.
So this one. So the titles are going to reflect the fact that this season is her focusing on herself.
That's good. I mean, I feel like that brings it to a nice ending. Yep. You know.
Patton Oswalt. Sorry, I was like trying to. I had a little note written for myself, but it had to do with the above. Patton Oswalt will also be now taking a major role in season 4 as Castle Man after appearing last year. We got him as the security guard.
Right.
So he'll have a bigger part this year.
I love how they bring people back.
I think he's actually supposed to be slated on next episode.
It's
gonna be like a Halloween episode.
Okay. Halloween is here. Oh my gosh.
Halloween
it's so
is here, and then Greg. We'll be back this season.
Kind of, right?
Kind of. But instead of Santino Fontana in It's going to be now Skylar Astin playing Greg from Pitch Perfect, is some where most people know him from. So this is what they had to say about that. Aside from, you know, a totally new actor playing him, McKenna admits casting Astin to play Greg is a sly nod to the fact that Rebecca and Greg have both changed significantly since he left town. She explains he's been in recovery for his addiction and she's been in recovery for her disorder, so they both changed a lot. When you watch Greg in season one, the dynamic between them was they hated themselves and each other, Bloom says, which is cute and sweet, and it was sexy, and it was filled with chemistry, but ultimately not super healthy. Both of them were going about in a very unhealthy way, despite the kinship between them. We'll see their dynamic. We'll see if their dynamic is any healthier with Astin joins the show as Greg midway through season four. He'll appear in multiple episodes. Bloom confirmed his arrival, though, could make Rebecca's blossoming romance with Nathaniel a lot more complicated. Her lifelong obsession with Josh Chan might be over, but when she least expects it, Bloom teases, love triangle-y romantic stuff comes back in a very big way.
I love it. Oh, it's going to be it. It's going to be it.
I'm like on my
song. I'm ready for it.
I mean, but how do you feel about a new actor playing him?
I'm sad, obviously, because I would love for him to come back and it'd be the original person playing him. And I think he did such a good job playing him. I know we both try to find out what he's doing.
It seems
why.
Like he's on Broadway.
I think so. And I think that's what we found out. I think he's on Broadway. But I'm just so sad that he couldn't take time or find a way. Maybe he was contractually obligated and he just couldn't do it.
I'm halfway and halfway on this because like I do like Skylar Astin, but I do love Santiago.
Yeah.
Santino, thank you. Okay. I always want to do that. As well. And I just love his voice so much that I'm just... I'm trying not to let my bias hit it, but like Greg was my favorite. I was always team Greg.
Right.
And I'm finding it hard to of that Fontaine will not be here.
We'll give it a chance and see what happens or whatnot. I'm curious to see how it's going to go about. And I just thought about this, like how she kind of had some memory loss on, her helping with,
the baby.
Maybe that ties into the memory loss of how he looks different.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. But with that, let's get into some predictions.
Mm-hmm. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Nina, give us some predictions that you got for whether it be next episode or next season.
I think this whole Josh self-diagnosing himself and going to therapy is only going to last a couple episodes. Just as his... his self-diagnosis of being ADD. I feel like his character in general is just like that. And it's going to switch it up. I am curious because Trent is back. So right when they say Trent's, out of coma, which he was never in coma or whatnot. Said, okay, yes, I was trying to hurt, Nathaniel or whatnot. And Rebecca was just trying to protect him. Something's going to happen. And I know there's going to be a love triangle-esque situation. I feel like he's going to find his way back somewhere along this whole journey that Rebecca's on, somewhere along the lines, if he's not going to jail. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I feel like he's not done. His character is not done yet. Nathaniel and Rebecca, I think it's going to be a love tap back and forth, maybe 5-6 episodes in. I don't think they're going to come back to it that quickly. Because I feel like they're going to concentrate on her so much right now that... Like you said, that love stuff is not going to bloom maybe till springtime, after like more than half the episodes or whatnot. So I feel like we're going to get a little bit of a rest on the Nathaniel Rebecca, and they're going to be their individual characters and themselves for right now, which I'm excited to see. I always like when they get into the character breakdowns and it gets a little bit deeper to each character versus characters jumbled up together,
Yeah, I think that we're going to definitely get... like you said, some more alone time with them each. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's going to be just how last time they tried to stay apart and couldn't. There's going to be some of that. And I think that we're going to maybe delve a little bit more into what exactly her disorder is. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get to see Dr. Copian, not the man Copian version, but the actual version again.
I'm sure she'll be back. I feel like she has to be back.
And she'll be dealing with Rebecca's choice of going to jail. And I think maybe Rebecca will have to realize now that she's gone to jail, maybe some things that that decision have affected, maybe her job.
Yeah. And she's slowly realizing, too, by coming and helping, giving free legal advice to, everybody who needs help.
Yeah.
with. So I feel like she's getting better. And there's going to be a lot of back and forth. So because obviously of her disorder. So
also going off the end of last season, I don't know if it's more of a want than a prediction, but I want White Joe and Daryl back together.
I feel like they're going to be back together.
And we didn't get to see White Joe this.
No.
This time, so I...
But he's back, because I saw him on an IG story somewhere.
Yeah, he's definitely back. They have mentioned that basically most of the cast is back for this. They didn't, you know, say everybody, but, like, I think all the main people they did, Paula, Heather, obviously, Valencia, all of them
Even Paula's Scott, who we had on the show, is going to be back as well, too. Yeah.
So I think pretty much everyone is going to be back for this season. And I had one last thought of it. Oh, I was just going to also plug for White Joe that he was in the Hulu show Into the Dark. I covered the first episode last week on AfterBuzz TV. Okay. It's basically an anthology series. So I don't think he's in that first episode, but he played a big major part in that.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to check that out on Hulu.
On Hulu. Nice. But that's it for us this episode, guys. Make sure to tune back in next Sunday at 6 p.m. We'll be back to discuss episode 2 of this final season of the show.
Right.
Until then, though, where can they keep up with you, Nino?
Hey guys, it's your boy Nino, and you can keep up with me at Nino Lanero on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, all that good stuff. Go ahead and follow me, and if you want to see me more on AfterBuzz, I am here on Thursdays for the Are You the One After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
And you guys can find me at Bri, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Instagram and Twitter. And like I said, I just covered the first episode of Into the Dark, so if you're into kind of that dark horror,
I'm into
comedy
it.
Stuff. Go check that first episode out, and we'll do the next episode in December or in November. So until then, we'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Bye bye.
Our founder Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first; we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.